Hare Krishna, welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Jepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavananda Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 24th Chapter, 58th Verse onwards. Hare Krishna Keshavananda Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Please take over the call Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yes, Prabhuji, we can hear you, Prabhu.
Yeah. Listen, Mataji, can somebody read the shloka and the purport?
Yes, Prabhuji, I can read. Prabhuji, I can read.
Thank you.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. Chapter 24, entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. Text number 58. Athana Sangha Drestava Kirti Tirthayo Ratnar Bahi Snana Vidhuta Papmanam Bhuteshvano Krosha Susastva Shilinam Syasta Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the cause of all auspicious things and the destroyer of all the contamination of sin. I therefore beg your Lordship to bless me by the association of your devotees who are completely purified by worshipping your lotus feet and who are so merciful upon the conditioned souls. I think that your real benediction will be to allow me to associate with such devotees. Purport. The Ganges water is celebrated as being able to eradicate all kinds of sinful reactions. In other words, when a person takes his bath in the Ganges, he becomes free from all life's contamination. The Ganges water is celebrated in this way because it emanates from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, those who are directly in touch with the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who are absorbed in the chanting of His glories are freed from all material contamination. Such unalloyed devotees are able to show mercy to the common conditioned souls. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has sung the devotees of Lord Chaitanya are so powerful that each one of them can deliver a universe. In other words, it is business of devotees to preach the glories of the Lord and deliver all conditioned souls to the platform of Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness. Here the word Su Sattva means Shuddha Sattva, the transcendental stage beyond material goodness. By his exemplary prayers, Lord Shiva teaches us that our best course it to take shelter of Lord Vishnu and His Vaishnava devotees. Thank you, Prabhuji. You can take over now.
Yeah. Thank you for that. You can hear my voice, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, okay, fine. Okay, so I'll just begin commenting on it. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this verse, Om Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saras Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Bhashradesh Dharana. I think, yeah, this verse is said by Lord Shiva, and these are the prayers of Lord Shiva, where he is actually, Lord Shiva is instructing Prachetas in the form of Rudra, and he is advising Prachetas to chant these prayers in the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Now, but if you look these prayers carefully, especially this verse, Lord Shiva is not just glorifying, he's not just praying, but he's also glorifying. Because he's saying, "Oh my Lord," and this, yeah, can you just hold for a minute? Just a minute. Because he's saying, he's praying, "Oh my Lord, give me the association of your devotees." That's what he's praying. But at the same time, he's glorifying devotees. And he's saying that devotees are more purifying than Ganges. Or in other words, just like Ganges purify the three words, your devotees also purifies other people inside and outside, Anta Bahir. So I want such association of pure devotees. Now, the first point to be noted, the point I'm trying to make is, the first point to be noted here is these are prayers, but at the same time, glorification of the devotees of Lord, at the same time, the glorification of the lotus feet of Lord. Angri means the lotus feet. So these are both the glorification and the prayers. Now, this is a very interesting point because you see, even Shishtashtakam, Mahaprabhu is praying, Shishtashtakam are prayers, but at the same time, their glorification. In fact, entire life of a devotee is a glorification. There is a verse by Shankaracharya, and he says in that verse, "Let my each step as I move on this earth, let it be a circumambulation of you. Let the each food, the morsel of food which I eat, let it be a sacrifice unto you. Let my sleep be obeisances unto you." You see the whole point there? It's a very beautiful verse. Even Rupa Goswami speaks. Even Lord Prithu, he prays to Vishnu like that. Every action of a devotee is glorification of Lord, or it should be supposed to be glorification of Lord. That's how we should act. And that satisfies Krishna. So the point I'm trying to make is, even prayers should be done in the mood of glorification. that's the first point which we have to keep in mind, which in fact even Jiva Goswami mentions in Bhagavatam again and again, again and again. Madhvacharya, he comments in his commentaries. Generally, for us, prayers and glorifications are different. But even Srila Prabhupada says like that. Srila Prabhupada in Science of Spiritual Realization, he said that that Hare Krishna is the best prayer and best glorification, if you read that properly. So, Prabhupada says Hare Krishna is the best prayer and best glorification. At the same time. So each prayer is a glorification and each glorification is a prayer. Any prayer devoid of mood of glorification is pure selfishness. And any glorification devoid of prayers unto Supreme Lord, that's simply egoistic or sentimentalism. Both are intertwined, and that's what is Shishastakam all about. That's what is Chaitanya Charitamrita Anti Leela all about. That's what is a life of a devotee. That's what makes devotee a devotee. Otherwise, without understanding this concept, everything is either sentimentalism or simply selfishness, that's all. So this requires wisdom, maturity. It comes with time and practice. But as we pray to Lord, we glorify Him. As we glorify Him, we pray to Him. Lord Shiva is doing the same thing here. In fact, you see the point, each prayer is a glorification. Why? Narottam Das Thakur says in one of his songs, Patita Pavana Tuma. Narottam Das Thakur says that O my Lord, you are Patit Pavan, you are deliverer of fallen souls, and there is no greater fallen soul than me. I am the most fallen. So please deliver me. Now the Lord might ask, why should I deliver you? Because Narottam says, because then your name, Patit Pavan, that will be glorified. See the point there? Narottam Das Thakur is praying for his deliverance. It's a prayer. At the same time, that prayer is to glorify Him, the Lord. That's his prayer. Otherwise, nothing makes sense. If he simply prays, please deliver me, that's absolute selfishness. And you might ask, no, that's not selfishness, because that's, we are praying to deliver ourselves, to serve Him. Well, that's okay. That's fine. We are praying to serve Him. But the whole point is, we are praying to serve Him, but as we are praying, the act of praying should also be a glorification. It should not be that we are praying and then we are praying for serving the Lord or for glorifying Him. That's almost like you're doing an action and offering a result. But no, if you're doing an action and offering a result of I don't want to use this word, but let me use this word. That sort of karma yoga. But of course, I mean, I don't want to put it in the category of karma yoga, because that's not karma yoga. But that sort of karma yoga abhas, let's say like that. That sort of a reflection of karma yoga in bhakti. You're doing an action and then you're offering the result. Okay, I'm praying, please purify me and please engage me in your service. And then when I will become purified and, oh sorry, please purify me and please deliver me. When I will become purified and you deliver me, I will then serve you. Okay, that's good. That's not bad. That's very nice. But it is devotion. But it is not an ideal standard. Ideal standard is even the act of praying should be a glorification. Because every action, Atha Anagra Angres Tava Kirti Tirthayor, this is what Lord Shiva is using. Kirti Tirthayor. Every action of a devotee is a glorification of Lord. And that's why Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yeah, I can hear you. You can hear me, Mataji? Hare Krishna?
Yes, Prabhuji, we can
hear you, Prabhuji. Lalitangi Mataji, you cannot hear us?
Now we can hear you.
Okay, fine. So what I was saying that every action, that's where the Lord Shiva uses Kirti Tirthayor. Lord Shiva is using the specific term Kirti Tirthayor. You are the Tirtha of glorification. And Prabhupada translates Tirtha as Ganges water. That's one perspective to see it. But there's another perspective, Kirti Tirthayor. If you really look at this word, this means that that devotee is a walking pilgrimage. Tirtha means pilgrimage. Walking pilgrimage. They are devotees, are walking, what can I say? They are live. They are live glorification. If you read books are glorification in words. But devotees are glorification in their very essence. They are living glorification, let me say like that. Just like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that poet comes and he says that there are two lords, one moves and one doesn't move. Jagannath is a lord which doesn't move, and Lord Gauranga is a lord who moves. Well, that's very interesting. So Bhagavatam is a book which glorifies Lord through words. But devotees are those who glorify Lord by their every action. And that's the whole point I'm trying to make, and which is very important in this verse, which many acharyas raise and comment, especially on this Kirti Tirthayor, that we have to learn how to do anything in the glorification of Lord. In fact, Madhvacharya, he also prays to the Lord in his commentary to Rig Veda. And he prays, "Oh my Lord, anytime if I fall down, please pick me up. Please help me. But pick me up in a way that you shall be glorified. Don't deliver me in a way in which you shall not be glorified. And if you feel that not delivering me will glorify you, I'm ready for that." But this needs a lot of courage. Not just courage, but pure devotion. And in fact, this requires absolute disinterest in oneself. Absolute disinterest in one's own survival, in one's own liberation, emancipation, in one's own even achievement of love of God. If our achieving love of God glorifies Lord Krishna, we are very glad and we are very excited to achieve love of God. But if it doesn't glorify Lord Krishna, you don't want that love. That's the whole point there. Kirti Tirthayor. So the point which we have to remember here is, we have to learn that everything in our life, even our prayers, should be the glorification of Lord. Otherwise, it will not make any sense, neither to your soul and neither to Lord Krishna. And in the end, it will bring frustration and no results. So what is Lord Shiva saying here? Lord Shiva is making a point here. Atha means therefore. So that means it's connected with the previous verse, and previous verse Lord Shiva says, Shane Shana Ardhena Api Tullena Swargam. Lord Shiva says that an association with devotee, even for a fraction of a second, even for a moment, cannot be compared to any achievements like liberation, like achievement of heavenly planets, which are in fact mentioned in Vedic scriptures. So, Atha Anaga Angre Stava. Therefore, Lord Shiva is saying, therefore, because association of devotees is so rare and so valuable, even more valuable than liberation, I want it. That's all. Esha Nastva, Syat Sangamo Anugraha, Syat Sangamo, Sangamo, I want association. Syat means of such kind of, let there be. Let there be what? Let there be Sangamo, association of devotees who are pure, who association of such devotees who are actually interested in glorifying you and none else. Even a death should be glorification of Lord. And that's why you see the point, this coronavirus and all those things is there now. People are so afraid to die. Yeah, of course, death is fearful, but devotees are not afraid to die and they should not be afraid to die. But at the same time, we are afraid to die. Because first thing is, if we die, I mean, so we want to preach. And the second thing is, next life, what will happen, we don't know. But most important point, which I was thinking is, that we are afraid to die because we don't want to die uselessly. If at all we should die in the service of God, so that our death should glorify Him. I mean to say, you just die of coronavirus. How does it glorify Lord? It's crazy. We welcome death. Death is a guest, as one of the poets and a saint, he said, death is a guest. I think even Jiva Goswami is right. Death is a guest. Let him come. He's a friend. Why? Because death will take you back to Godhead. So, he's your friend. He's not your enemy. That's all. But the whole point is, we don't want to die. The very action of death should also be for glorification of Lord. Otherwise, it's not pure devotion. So we are fearful to die because we don't want to die this nonsense death in a hospital by coronavirus. This is crazy. It doesn't glorify Lord. Okay, hang us. Crucify us. So that's okay. We accept it if it glorifies the Lord. Or maybe you can die while preaching. That's a very good death. Or maybe you go to some Saudi Arab or China and there you preach and then you get coronavirus and die. Okay, that's fine. Of course, you're not going to do that. But while preaching, if you die, that's a good death. Or if your death can help devotee communities, that's a good death. Just like Christ, he died, was crucified. But his death was the most crucial thing. I mean to say, when he was alive, he was a very dangerous person for Maya. But when he was dead, or when he finished his pastimes, he became even more dangerous. Because people, their faith multiplied millions of times. And his ideas spread like fire. And Christianity took over. So his death was very crucial in formation of Christianity. And the glorification of his father. And that's why he accepted this kind of death. Otherwise he could have easily avoided it. I mean, he was a person who rose people from death. His cousin brother Lazarus, he was dead for 3 days. Christ came and he again he brought him to life. So he could have easily saved himself, but he didn't do. And he didn't do, in fact, Peter, he was saying, Christ, you are so powerful, you can save yourself from being crucified. Why don't you do it? Christ said, you are Kali personified, you are Shaitan, you are Satan. Get lost from here. Satan is speaking through you. Because my death will glorify my Father, I gladly accept it. Now that's the whole point there. These kind of devotees we need, association. That's what Lord Shiva is saying. Susatva Shilanam, Anukrosha Susatva Shilanam. Lord Shiva is saying, Susatva Shilanam. Lord Shiva is saying, I want association of devotees or Susatva. Prabhupada is writing in the purport, who are Shuddha Sattva, who are at the platform of Shuddha Sattva. That kind of devotees we need association, Shuddha Sattva. Now Shuddha Sattva, Prabhupada says here, Shuddha Sattva means pure goodness, transcendental stage beyond material goodness. Shuddha Sattva is a stage, transcendental stage beyond material mode of goodness. Now, what does that mean? Now, in mode of ignorance, a person is not interested in God and not interested in himself either. He's in complete ignorance. In mode of ignorance, person does whatever he does according to his reflexes. He eats when hungry, he sleeps when tired. He just speaks when he wants to speak. He blasphemes. He's insolent, lazy, procrastinating. He has no aim in life. Neither for God, neither for himself. That's ignorance. And by mode of passion, a person is interested in himself and himself only. And in nobody else, God is definitely not in picture. That is pure mode of passion. Pure mode of passion. That's like people like egoistic, maniac, who are completely interested in himself. What's that? So there's one psychiatric disease who are interested in themselves and who wants personal attention. What's that?
Narcissist?
Yeah, fine, yeah, narcissist, yeah. This is pure mode of passion, narcissist, who are completely interested in themselves. So these are mode of passion, but in mode of goodness, a person interested in God as well as himself. And that's what Krishna says. Mode of goodness, he is good. He's interested in God, he's interested in astikya, jnanam, shaucham, tapa. He's interested in all these good things. At the same time, he's interested in them himself. And that is why he's bonded in happiness. Because when he does good things, he starts experiencing happiness. And then slowly gets lost in happiness. And then he stops focusing on good things. So that is in mode of goodness. Most of our devotion we do in mode of goodness. Most of us. I mean to say many are doing devotion in mode of ignorance also. Just doing something mechanically. They don't know what's God, they don't know what's themselves, and they're doing, that's all, as a ritualistic formula. Many are doing in mode of passion. They are just doing devotion to get something, to get blessings, to get purified, just for themselves. That's all. They are absolutely not interested in glorifying the Lord. They are even serving Lord to get something. But some of them, intelligent devotees or wise and pure devotees, they are doing in mode of goodness. They're interested in God. They're serving Him nicely, sincerely. At the same time, the bliss of devotion, they experience bliss of devotion, and then in that experience of bliss of devotion, their whole sadhana becomes loose, and then then there is inattention, and then there is a temporary fall down, and then they again become sincere. So the graph goes up and down. That often we experience, isn't it? We sometimes become very strong, and then so suddenly we become very weak, and then again we vow to become strong, then we become weak. That's also Vishwanath Chakri Thakur recommending in Madhur Ekadamni. He says Tarang Rangini. He says Tarang Rangini. Something like that. He says a type of devotion where devotion goes up, down, up, down. Why this happens? Bhakti Sandha, he analyzed it. He said because devotees are doing devotion in mode of goodness. What happens in mode of goodness? Mode of goodness, devotee is interested in God as well as himself. Because a devotee is interested in himself, so when he gets bliss of service, he gets lost in that. Or his attention is divided and he loses focus on sadhana, on strictness, on rules, regulations, and then he gets lost temporarily. But Shuddha Sattva is pure mode of goodness. Transcendental goodness beyond mode of goodness, transcendental stage beyond mode of goodness, that's what Prabhupada says. At that stage, a person is interested only in God and God only. Only in Krishna and Krishna only. Absolutely disinterested in himself. Now, I know that's very difficult to do, but that's precisely the point. It's very difficult to do. But by the blessings of Vaishnavas and blessings of Krishna, this stage can be achieved. But blessings are always there. What we are lacking is the eagerness to achieve this stage. Or what we are lacking is association of such devotees who have this eagerness to become so pure that ultimately they forget themselves, they forget their own. Ultimately they want to erase their personal selfishness up to the point that they want to erase themselves, that's all. It's not mayavad they want to erase themselves. In the sense, they want to erase all their material desires, even the desire to survive, even the desire to actually go to Vaikuntha or Golok. Prabhupada says that. Any desire. I mean to say, desire to go to Vaikuntha and Golok, that's a spiritual desire. But that's a spiritual desire only when that desire glorifies Krishna. And the desire, the aim of the desire is to serve him. Otherwise, even the desire to go back to Golok, that's selfish, that's material. So, that desire to go back to Golok, the very action of desiring to go back to Golok, the very thought, I want to go back to Golok, that very thought should glorify God. Now that should be your attitude. If that's not an attitude, then it's all mixed emotion. So anyway, we are all not at that platform. These things are very difficult even to understand what to talk of applying it. But Lord Shiva is saying, I want association of such devotees. Susattva Shilinam. Susattva means Shuddha Sattva, who are at that platform, transcendental platform. Transcendental, who are beyond I and me, a disease of I and me. Now this needs practice, but at the same time this needs association. In association, practice becomes very easy because you are continuously hearing. Shilinam. Shilinam means, Prabhupada says, Shilinam, of those who possess such characteristics. Now that's what Shiva is making the point. I want association of such devotees who know how to glorify you. Tavakirti tirthayo. Whose whole life is your glorification. Whose every action is your glorification. Whose every word is your glorification. Whose every thought is your glorification. Who are perfect in glorifying you. In glorifying the Lord. I want association of such devotees. And then devotion becomes very easy, just like Srila Prabhupada. People who were associated with Srila Prabhupada, they became sannyasis. They were hippies and they became sannyasis. You can imagine what kind of achievement they had just by association with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, actually once Srila Prabhupada was in New York, and I think he was just sitting and typing, and one of the devotees asked Prabhupada, "What you're typing?" Prabhupada says, "I'm typing Hare Krishna." See the point there. He was typing Hare Krishna. Now he was thinking, at every second, Lord's holy name should be glorified. And he was thinking of holy name always. And he knew how to glorify Lord. Now that's the whole point there. Devotee is what they're going to teach you. They're going to train you how to glorify Him, God, by chanting holy names, by walking, by talking, by sitting. And that requires a lot of consciousness, Krishna consciousness. That's the devotee, Susat Vashirana, because in association of such devotees, devotion becomes very, very easy. See the point, anybody who has learned Mridanga, you know it's so difficult to learn Mridanga. You can learn mantras, and you can start playing, but the sweetness will not come. If you want sweetness in your mantras, in your playing mantras, in Mridanga, you need to associate with devotees who have sweetness. Sweetness cannot be got by just by practicing mantras. You can get the beat, but you cannot get the sweetness. So that's why we need association of devotees. This sweetness we want. What's the sweetness of devotion? This is the sweetness of devotion. This is the sweetness of devotion. We are only interested to glorify God. That's the sweetest concept. That's what we want to become. Of course, it's so difficult. Our egos, our passions, our modes are trying to stop us. There are so many habits which are out of control. But if you want it, at least you should want that. If you want it, Krishna will give you. He might not give you immediately. Krishna said to gopis, "I don't give love of God. I don't fulfill the prayers of my devotees immediately." Gopi said, "Why?" Krishna says, "Because I want to increase their thirst for achieving that pure platform." And that's the whole point there. So you see the point, Syat Sangamu, let there be association of devotees, such which devotees, Susat Vashilinam, who are disinterested in the self. Devotees are like God. Putamad Bhavamagata. Krishna says, when a devotee becomes pure, he attains to my nature in Bhagavad Gita. And what's the nature of God? Udasinvat. Krishna says in 8th chapter, 9th verse, Kapim Purana Manushasita Ramano Raniyan Shramanusmaridya. And then afterwards, Krishna says, Udasin Vat, one of the verse, he says, the Lord is, I am Udasin Vat. So Udasin means disinterested. But Udasin Vat means disinterested like. I'm not exactly disinterested. But I'm disinterested, Udasin Vat. I seem disinterested. Then how do you understand that? In Bhagavata, Krishna says, uses his word Udasin Vat for himself. Udasin means disinterested. Okay, Krishna is disinterested in. Krishna says, I am disinterested in this material world, in all the living entities, in everything. But then this is not good, because if Krishna says like that, then does he have love for us? Krishna says, Udasin Vat. He says, it'll appear I'm disinterested, but I'm not. Because I'm disinterested, I'm interested in material creation and living entities, not for myself, but for them. For them. A person might be working so hard for others, but he might be working hard for, because those people are because he wants something or he feels good in helping them. But Krishna says, no, that's not the case with me. I am doing everything. I am making material creation. I am helping everybody. Why? Because I don't want anything, and neither am I interested. For my personal self, I don't want anything. I am fully self-satisfied. I am simply helping because I know that people will be happy by that. If they get devotion, they will be happy. And that's why he makes this material world and gives them the opportunity to come in contact with devotion and get liberated. So, like that. Even saints are like that. Saints are not attached to anybody. I mean, to say there's so many saints and so many sannyasis, so many gurus, they have disciples. Are they attached to their disciples? Well, for themselves, if you ask them, they are not attached to any of their disciples for themselves. If they're attached to anything in this material world, they will be just blocked in this material. But at the same time, they are interested and attached to disciples for their benefit and not for their own benefit. They don't want anything. But they're attached with them because if they're attached to their disciples, the disciples will have faith. They're nourished. Their faith will be nourished. And they will advance in devotion. So even that attachment is for the devotees and for the benefit and service of Lord. That's the whole point there. So such kind of devotees are welcomed, and we want, Shiva says, Tadanugrah. Oh my Lord, I just want these blessings that I should get association of such devotees. It's such a nice prayer. I don't know. You need a lot of fortune for that. Sukadeva Goswami prays in Srimad Bhagavatam. What's that? There's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that these friends of Krishna, they have accumulated millions of pious activities. They are now able to play with Lord. I just forgot that verse. Punyam. They have got a lot of punyas. They must have got a lot of punyas that now they can play with Krishna. So we need lot of blessings, lot of service in fact. Lot of course, endeavor. And the result of that service and that blessings will be association of such devotees. Then we'll be born someday in the association of Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwachakri Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Advaita Acharya. That is a result of devotion. Now that's the second point which you have to keep in focus in this verse. Lord Shiva begins his verses, Atha, therefore. Now this word therefore means whatever you do in devotion, the result of devotion is association of pure devotees. That's the result. And that's what Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Krishna bhakti mool janm hoye sadhu sang, Krishna prem payate ho hoye pune mukhyang. Krishna bhakti is born of sadhu sang, and after getting love of Godhead, the main anga is again sadhu sang. That's why it is a sadhu sang, sar shastra kai. Mahaprabhu says two times, sadhu sang, sar shastra kai. Why two times? First, sadhu sang is for getting Krishna bhakti. Second, sadhu sang is after you attain Krishna bhakti or after you attain Krishna prem. Then also you need sadhu sang. So sadhu sang never ends. It will continue. Because that's the reward of devotion. But of course, we should have some fortune to be in that sadhu sang. That's the first thing. Sometimes we get something and then we lose the importance and then we fight and then reject it.
And that's the that's because of our sinful sins and misfortune that we lose a diamond. We lose the best. Krishna provides it. Krishna provides devotees. But we have our own ideas. And we lose it because we think that the reward of devotion is something else. Reward of devotion is maybe peace, satisfaction, or even love of God. Love of God is a reward of devotion. Yes, Krishna Prem Pumartho Mahan, Mahaprabhu says. Mahaprabhu says, Prem Prem Vetan Dehi. Mahaprabhu says, yes, give me the reward of love of God. But at the same time, you can only learn, relish love of God in association of devotees. That's what Mahaprabhu says. Krishna Prem Janme Pune Hoy Mukhyang. Even after love of God, I need sadhu sang to relish that love. So that's the reward, by the way. Otherwise, you can't even relish love of God. Because love is all about people. Love is nothing alone. You can sit alone with God. That's another thing. But even with God, you need devotees. Even God wants to be with devotees. He also doesn't want to remain alone. Prabhupada says in first canto, there is no conception of God without devotees. There is no conception of absolute truth without God and his devotees. Only God is not a complete conception of absolute truth. Prabhupada says that. You read first canto. So that's the whole point. Lord Shiva says, Lord Shiva says, Atha angres tava kirti tirthyor antar vahir snana viduta papmaman. The angre means lotus feet. From a lotus feet, tirthayor, a tirtha is arising. What's that? Ganges. And Ganges is glorifying you in the three words. How? By purifying antar bahir, by purifying everybody who takes bath, snan, vidutha papmanam, who takes bath, who bathes in Ganges, she glorifies. How she glorifies when person takes bath in Ganges? Because she nullifies all the sinful reactions, and then people glorify the lotus feet of God, because that's the origin of Ganges. So similarly, Lord Shiva says, I want association of such devotees in whose contact we are immediately purified. Why we are purified? Because they are in transcendental stage of mode of goodness, because they are absolutely not interested in themselves. Their message is free of ego, I and mine, and only their message only comprises your glorification and your glorification only. That is what Shiva is praying for. And that, let that prayer be ours, and that's the only prayer we should have in the core of our hearts. In this life or next life, whatever. And if you want it, sincerely, Krishna will give you. And then, Krishna is in your fist, Prabhupada says. He is with you. So, please take full advantage of association of devotees. And hear them, practice chanting, and most of all, practice doing everything as glorification of Supreme Lord. Not interested, or not the least interested in yourself. Try to do things only for God. Each action should be for the glorification of Lord. That's the practice we require. And the more we are practiced in that, the more we are out of ourselves and connected with Lord and his glorification and service, the more you will enter the mysteries of chanting the holy names. Holy names will open himself to you. Instantly, tatakshanat, instantly it will open himself to you. There is no delay from his side. The delay is from our side. And of course, now there's no time also, because coronavirus is there. Death can come. So now even there's no time for practice. It's an unfortunate situation. But if you want to practice, Krishna will give you time. If you want to become pure, Krishna will give you time. Because that's what is material world designed for, to make us pure. And if you understand that point, death will recede. Okay, you want to become pure. Death comes to those who don't understand this simple point, who are selfish. They have to die again and again and again and suffer until the point they understand that I should be entrusted in God and only God. Then that stops. So that's how we can even be safe in this coronavirus tragedy, this catastrophe. That's the secret here, Lord Sivan says. Hare Krishna Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Anybody wants to ask anything? I'm done.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Yeah, I do have, you spoke on exactly what I'm so happy you spoke on. This idea of prayer, the proper prayer being a combination of both glorification and the second half you would say is a request. What'd you say?
What was that?
You said that a proper prayer should comprise of two elements.
One, yeah, yeah. First is glorification, and the second is absolute disinterest in our own self.
Okay, so when we ask for something, let's say, you know, even for our
actually, proper prayer should be glorification. At the same time, even the act of prayer should be glorification. That was the point I was making. It's not that the result of prayer should be glorification. That make me pure. Why? So that I will serve you after becoming pure. That's not the whole point. Even the statement, make me pure, should glorify Lord. It should not be the result, it should be the action itself. And that's the whole point.
That's where I'm a little bit cloudy, you know. Now, if I ask Krishna to make me pure, right? You're saying that it should be in the, I mean, we do want him to make us pure so that we can serve him in a pure way without motive.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm asking him for that, then what is the problem?
There's no problem, but it's not ideal standard. The problem here lies is you're saying, make me pure so that I can serve you better. Okay, good. As Mahaprabhu said to Ramananda, eho hoye. That's okay, but aage kaha. Speak more, go deep. This is not perfect. Perfect prayer is Krishna, please make me pure. Please make me pure. And if I become pure, then if you make me pure,
mm-hmm,
by this prayer, you shall be glorified. I'm interested to make this supplication and this prayer, make me pure, because I know this will glorify you. Why it will glorify you? Because when you make me pure, people will say, Krishna is great. Because he purifies even the most fallen person. So even this prayer in itself will be a glorification of you. So it's a whole attitude which is in devotee's mind. If this attitude is not there, then it's not really ideal. In other words, devotee is saying, Krishna, I'm praying this, make me pure. Not because I want to become pure. Now that's the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm praying this, make me pure, because I know that this statement,
when others will hear, they will praise you. But yes, he is praying to Krishna, make me pure. Why? Because Krishna is the only person who can make anyone pure.
Mm-hmm.
There is
mm-hmm.
no other demigod, there is no other deity who can purify any other living entity. Now that sentiment has to be there, otherwise this action in itself is not an ideal action. And in fact, a devotee can add afterwards, Krishna, if by making me impure, you become glorified, I'm ready for that. You see, that thing should be there. If that thing is not there, then you lose the whole point there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking that, this reminds me of his, I guess, purification of Madhai, you know. So it's like, and his purification of Madhai was Krishna's glorification, was Lord Chaitanya's glorification, right? That that he could make somebody like Madhai. So
absolutely, yeah. And that's the whole point there. You can make somebody pure who are the most sinful person, people around. So that's where that example is given, because that example glorifies Krishna.
Yes.
It glorifies Lord Chaitanya. It has nothing to do with Jagai Madhai, by the way, because there were so many sinners.
Mm-hmm.
But delivering Jagai Madhai glorifies Lord Gauranga. That's why Vrindavan Das Thakur included that particular pastime. Otherwise, Mahaprabhu purified so many sinners, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the whole. We want to say, Krishna, glorify me. I mean, purify me so that you may be glorified through that purification.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Okay, just one other question. Oh, no, just two other questions. When you were just now, how did you say about the Ganges in this context? Can you just repeat that point?
No, I just told Lord Shiva is saying just like Ganges, so just like bathing in Ganges purifies a person from inside and outside, similarly, I want association of devotees who can purify me from inside and outside. That's what the point Lord Shiva is making. Now, association of devotees purifies a person from outside. How? By disassociating him from bad association. And from inside, how does association of devotees purifies? By actually inculcating in him the mood of absolute disinterest in our own self.
Mm-hmm.
Selflessness.
I guess that sounds a little bit mystical, because I guess only by, you know, imbibing, I guess, that mood through association can we ever hope to come to that level.
Yeah, you're right. Just by reading books, it will not come. That's why Lord Shiva is saying, I want association of the... Lord Shiva is not saying, I want books, you know. I want a set of Bhagavatam. He's not saying that. He's saying, I want association because you're right. This thing is mystical. This thing, a person can't understand how to be interested in self because we are always interested in our own self. Even to become disinterested in our own self is interested in being interested in one's own self. Am I right? It's a loop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why Gaudiya Vaishnavism is called mysticism. Gaudiya Vaishnavism is called Hindu mysticism. That's like Sufi is called Islamic mysticism. All these mystic sects, they are proposing something which is beyond the intellect of human capacity, which cannot be understood by intellect, which cannot be grasped by intellect. Aprape mansa saha. Upanishads are mystical, which are beyond words and beyond mind. It can only be revealed. And that's why Prabhupada brings up Prakrit platform and all those things. And that revelation, that mysticism carries itself with a
with the mysticism carries itself with the conception of revelation, that revelation can only be had in association of devotees, otherwise it's impossible. Otherwise you're blocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Just one last thing. You said that death recedes for basically the sincere devotee who has this very lofty aspiration. But I'm trying to reconcile that with the fact that, you know, Krishna might feel that for that devotee to advance towards him, a new body might be most appropriate, in which case, you know, that devotee would still need to go through that death process.
Yeah, Krishna, if he has such kind of plan, then that's the best. But most of the time, in normal cases, it is said in Bhagavatam, even the fear personified fears fear. So, it is said in scripture, death will recede from a person who is trying to sincerely serve the Lord and who have these kind of aspirations to actually be completely interested in glorifying the Lord. It will recede. But in exceptional cases, if Krishna wants, then nothing can be done.
Do you have an idea of where I can find that reference about death receding for such a person?
In the case of Dhruva Maharaj, if you read the story of Dhruva Maharaj, when death comes to take him, if you read the verses properly, I mean to say you have to go in Sanskrit. If you read the translations, it might not come directly. But if you read the translation properly, it's a different from a different angle. If you read that verses, this point will be just simply will actually be self evident there.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Very as usual, wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, you are in New York, huh? Isn't it?
Well, you met me there, but I actually live in New Jersey.
Oh, you live in New Jersey. So New Jersey is actually so it's lockdown.
I don't know. I'm not keeping up actually, but I don't know if we're locked down or not.
Okay, so you're in the house. That's good. Okay, that's great.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Please, Prabhu, come to our association regularly. We definitely miss your lectures, and we want to learn more from you, Prabhu.
Who is this?
Prabhu, this is Radhika from Folsom, Prabhu.
From where?
Folsom, California, Prabhu.
Oh, Radhika. Okay, fine. Yeah, let's see if destiny allows. I mean to say, now nobody knows who's going to live, who's going to die. But things have changed drastically. It's the whole world is in a different kind of phase. Let's see what happens. But thank you for that.
Definitely, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanyavad Pranam. Thank you for the beautiful class, Prabhu. Prabhuji, I have a doubt.
Mataji, can you tell your name? I just wanted to know who is speaking because...
Yeah, Prabhuji, this is Anuradha Devidasi.
From?
From Omaha, Prabhu, Nebraska.
Okay. Fine.
Prabhuji, I have heard from one of the following Srila Prabhupada videos where Prabhuji was mentioning that once one devotee was one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he was saying that, he wanted to go back after everybody goes back. And then Srila Prabhupada said, we are not Prahlad Maharaj to have a desire like that. So in this very life itself, we should try to go back to Godhead. And that Absolutely. Is that should be our, goal of life. I think he was a preacher, whoever was saying that. But Prabhuji, how does that go along with what you've been saying today? Because that, I mean, if the, having the goal of, so Prabhuji.
I understand you. Oh, so by the way, did I meet you in Omaha, Nebraska?
Yes, Prabhuji. It was 3 years back. Yes. We were just starting that time.
Well, actually, you are, so you're connected with actually Bhaskar Prabhu or what?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Oh, you are his wife?
No, Prabhuji. I'm not, they are very old devotees. I mean, they've been very senior devotees. You came, Prabhu, it was the time that we were coming to Krishna consciousness. That was like, I think, 3 years back. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Anyway, so you see the point. You're right that there are some prayers which we are not eligible to do. Just like you quoted the example, just like this devotee said, after all the devotees go, then I will want to go. And then Prabhupada says, no, first you should try to go. Now the whole point is, you see, it depends. I mean, to say Prabhupada was talking to those devotees who were very new in Krishna consciousness. First point, I mean to say, that point, I mean to say, whoever it would be, even sannyasis, they would be just maximum 7 years old, 8 years maximum in Krishna consciousness. Because Prabhupada started movement in 68, 67, something, and then it went till 76, or maybe even little before that, because Prabhupada became sick. So it was just 7, 8 years the movement, and people were very neophyte stage. So Prabhupada said, well, focus first on basics, focus on going back to Godhead. First point is this. I'm not saying this is the point. So try to go back, because this thing saying, I want to go back to God and first let everybody go, let everybody get delivered. Now this is this kind of prayer. We have to become eligible to pray such kind of prayers because Prahlad is praying, because he's already liberated. That's the whole point there. Prahlad says to Lord Narasimha that I don't care about myself because I'm already liberated. And I've already seen God face to face. I'm concerned about others. And that's why he says this. Even Ramanuja, he says, I might go to hell, but let everybody go back. If my going to hell helps everybody going to heaven or back to Godhead, that's okay. So yeah, these kind of prayers are prayed by Mahabhagavat, and we have to really, we can appreciate them, we can glorify such prayers, but the question is, can we do such prayers or not? That's the whole point. Now in a neophyte stage, in a very initial stage, it's not recommended to do these prayers. In fact, unless you're not liberated, you can't do such prayers. But at the same time, our goal is to become like that. That's the whole point there. It's not that if we cannot pray, then we cannot even desire. That's not the whole point there. So we can desire to be like that. Just like gopis. Gopis are perfect. They are in Madhurya Bhava. Now, of course, we can't pray like gopis, or we can't become like gopis. But we can desire to follow, and actually we can desire to become like them. We can desire to pray like them. At least we can do that. So what I was saying is, the ideal standard is to be completely disinterested in yourself and only in God. So at least we should have eagerness to become like this. So you can pray to God. You can pray to Krishna. Krishna, please make me like this. Please give me the strength to pray in such a fashion that each of my prayer is your glorification. Please teach me. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually prays like that. Just he teaches us how to pray. And he prays to Lord Krishna in one of his songs, oh my Lord, please teach me even how to pray to you. I don't know even how to pray. I'm praying in such a manner which is completely full of selfishness. Let each of my prayer be your glorification. Please teach me. So that's what we can pray now.
And the whole point is, if we understand the ideal platform, we can desire for that. And if we can desire for that, although we are not qualified to pray like that, but if we desire to attain that qualification, we can ask Krishna, Krishna, please make me qualified to pray like that. So that eagerness will teach us, that eagerness to attain that platform will teach us exactly how to pray and what to pray. That will be a guide. And then we can pray in our capacity and advance and then come to that platform. Is it fine?
Yes, so very, very beautiful explanation, and I will write it down for you. Thank you so much. Koti koti dhanyavad pranam prabhu. And hope to you come here again and we get your association again.
Yeah, hi, Ganesha. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Oh, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. You know, to come to this level of selflessness, we need association of devotees. But while we are still not at that level, how to even pray for such association from a sincere space in the heart? You know, how to ask. You know, we've heard you speak on this, so we understand that is what we should aspire for. You know, with our intelligence, we can understand that's what would be the ideal. But how to actually pray for that sincerely when right now no
pray to Krishna. Krishna, please guide me how to pray. Please pray to him. He will guide from within your heart how to pray, what to pray, when to pray. He will do that. But the whole point is, if we don't speak about this ideal platform, which seems such a lofty aspirations, we will never desire this, we'll never be eager to attain this platform. I mean to say, what else appeals to the heart except this ideal, except this absolute purity? I don't think so. Everything is trash. Everything is, even to think our own self is trash and nonsense and disgusting. At least that appeal should be there in your heart. And that appeal, that eagerness will guide you. It will tell you what to do. That's what will happen. That's what I answered, Mataji. Because we want that platform, but at the same time, you know, we are not qualified. So Krishna inspires in our heart, okay, Krishna, we know we are not, but you can help us to understand how to pray and what to do. And so it's said in Bible that knock and the door shall be open. You have heard this?
Yes.
You shall knock and the door shall be open. So, Bhakti Santa used to say the same thing. If you sincerely ask, Krishna will not keep quiet. He will instantly. But the whole point is, you should know what to ask. That's the whole point.
That's what
I'm telling.
I was wondering too if a proper kind of motivation, self-motivation would be to think that, you know, just as in our case, we can only appreciate love from somebody if we understand that the person doesn't have any selfish motive in their dealings with us. The more selfishness is absent, the more we can appreciate the love that comes from somebody else. So, you know, so that quality, we can understand how Krishna would want that too, because if we can understand that for ourselves.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah, you got the point. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much, Buddha. Hare Krishna.
Okay, anybody wants to ask anything? Otherwise, we're going to...
Hello, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for a beautiful class. Is there anybody having any more questions for Prabhuji? If not, we can end the call here.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. And then also now, time, Prabhuji.
Oh, Lalitangi Mataji, huh?
Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam, Prabhuji.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Okay, yeah.
So, Prabhuji, you talk, I mean, you repeatedly stressed this point about being selfless and, you know, not doing anything for ourselves. So, what is so, you know, it's saddening is that even after so many years of practice, chanting, association, reading, this point of, you know, the selflessness is very rarely seen in devotees. You know, you can do that. So many of us are still in the thing that, you know, I have preached, this is my devotee, this is my group, here is me.
Yeah.
The selfishness is just extended. And then it's so, there's no difference. It's more material in the spiritual environment than outside. Sometimes, you know, people who are not chanting, I find them more selfless. So the question is, from this stage, whether more chanting or more reading or association, like as you said, you know, even if Krishna bestows us with a nice association, we mess it up. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, fighting, things like that. So, how, like, what should a devotee do? Should is it about?
Okay. Okay, you want a solution. Solution, I'll tell you a solution, because in all the solutions there's a problem, isn't it? That's the whole point. So, what my experience is and what all saints have experienced, every solution has a trap, isn't it? That's the whole idea there. Because that's what is the function of illusion. But one thing, you see, every tradition, if you read in all the world, Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, Kabbalah, these mystic sects, Sufism, our Gaudiya Vaishnavism, even atheistic traditions like Zen, Tao, all these traditions, if you read, is one thing very, very common. Very common. I mean, they say all traditions have chanting, all traditions have service, all traditions have recitation of books, everything what we have. Conceptions might be a little different, but at the level of practice, they're doing all the things what we are doing. But one thing is very central to all traditions, and that is prayers. Prayers and repentance. That's the two things which is very, very common in all traditions. I mean, to say, if you go to Christianity, the heart of Christianity is prayer and repentance, isn't it? That's again and again repeated. The heart of Islam lies in prayers. All these namaz and all these things, repetition of the names of God and prayers. Even in a Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the heart of Gaudiya Vaishnavism prayers. What's the name of Narottam Das Thakur's song book? Prarthana. Am I right?
Yeah.
That's one of his main books. That's the only book which he wrote. He wrote another book, Prem Bhakti Chandrika, but even Prem Bhakti Chandrika was an extension of that book, Prarthana, which he added to it. But that's what his whole life is. What is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs? All prayers. So, what are all Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas? They're all praying. I mean to say, of course, praying, and that was a lecture today, praying in the mood of glorification, it's all intertwined. So, if we can continuously pray to guide us, I think Krishna will never allow us to become confused. But we have to remember to pray to him But not just to pray to him when you pray to him. You have to pray to him when you walk, when you talk, when you go, when you sleep. Just pray, keep praying to him in your heart. Please guide me. Please lead me away from temptations. Please don't let me fall down. And this will save us. This is the only way to actually not become confused. Otherwise, it's very easy to become confused and it's very easy to get lost in the darkness of illusion. You'll not be able to see light. It's my personal experience. It's personal experience of all sannyasis, all great saints. All great saints, they were just doing one thing, praying day and night, day and night, day and night. So you can pray to Lord. Of course, that's why Prabhupada said, isn't it? The Prabhupada said that I always pray to Krishna, that Krishna don't let me fall down. Am I right? Prabhupada said to his devotees that you don't pray. You don't fear Maya. You don't pray. But I pray. All Rupa Goswami, he prays. Raghunath Goswami, he's praying again and again, again and again. So that's actually, these devotees were not writing books. They were writing prayers. So what Rupa Goswami was doing in Vrindavan? What Raghunath Goswami? What is the book all about? They're writing prayers to the Supreme Lord. And those prayers have come in form of a book to us. Isn't it that if you think properly, that's how it is. What is Srimad Bhagavatam all about? It's not a book. It's all prayers of devotees which has come in form of a book. So they prayed and we are reading their prayers. That's not what we are supposed to do. We are not just supposed to read their prayers. We are supposed to learn from them that we too have to pray. That's what the message is being passed down. The message is not to cram those prayers and read those prayers. The message is that just how we were praying, you also pray. Of course, if you don't know how to pray, read our prayers and learn what to pray, but pray 24 hours. So that practice has to be there and then we can be saved. Otherwise, there's no chance. So we can pray, Krishna. It's so confusing. Every action, whatever we do in devotion, it can simply be an illusion. You can get trapped in illusion. You preach, and then at the same, just like you're saying, groupism, this again selfishness comes there. Chanting again selfishness comes there. So how do you get rid of it? Well, Krishna wants to see you weep. Otherwise, he will not extend his mercy. He will not do that. He wants to see. The Prabhupada says, just like a child cries for the mother, am I? He wants to see you like a fish out of water. And then he'll extend his mercy. So, how does it happen? You pray. If you don't know how to pray, then pray, Krishna, I don't know how to pray. And that will make your heart open to his advice. When the time comes, when the test comes, our heart will accept that advice and will follow it without fear and wholeheartedly. Otherwise, when the time comes, we will fail. We'll fail him, that's all. Because we didn't pray. Our heart became hard. Our heart became like stone. Because I'm doing service, I'm chanting, I'm doing this. And that's why this group is, right? Because I made this group. So these people should be with me. Well, if you're always praying, and if you're always repenting, that I am a sinner. Rupinath, Mama Nirvedana Kuno. Isn't it? That's the song. So if you're always there in that mood, if you're always in that mood, Gopinath, Mama Nirvedana Kuno, Vishai Durjana, Sada Kamarata, how can anybody make groupism in that? You tell me.
I'm the most sinful. I'm always doing offenses, knowingly, unknowingly. I'm a useless person. And if somebody else comes and wants to take somebody from your group, well, we are more glad. Let him take. At least, I'm a useless person. How can I guide these people? If we are truly singing that song, if we are truly praying that song 24 hours, how can we be confident that we will be able to guide people whom we have connected back to God? And if somebody else is taking somebody else's groups, well, okay, good. I can't do. At least he can take him to back to God. Good. Let them go back to God. Then things can be solved. Isn't it? So does it make sense or not?
Yeah. It's probably.
Otherwise, if a person forgets, as soon as person forgets, I'm the most sinner, I'm the lowest of lowest, then groupism will come. He's connected to me, he's with me. Well, how can you be sure that you will take him back to God? You can't even take yourself back to God. So, a devotee who is always praying these prayers, who are not reading these prayers, that's Gaurakrishnadas Babaji used to say that. Gaurakrishnadas Babaji, he was going in a boat and that boatman was singing that song, Hari Hari Vifale Janma Gunainu. And Gaurakrishnadas Babaji said, you just stop singing. So that boatman said, well, it's an Uttam Das Thakur song. Gaurakrishnadas Babaji said, I know, but your singing is tearing my heart. I can't hear this. So, what do you say? Hearing that song is devotion, or stopping to hear from that song is devotion? What's happening? Well, what's happening is that boatman is singing that song, but Gaurakrishnadas Babaji is living that song. He's praying that song 24 hours. He has understood the spirit of that song. Narottam Das Thakur is not giving us a song. He is giving us a prayer which we have to do 24 hours in our heart. He's actually inspiring us to pray like he's praying. That's what is happening. Otherwise, it's all dead knowledge. It's all dead. What's the point of reading all these books? So that's the spirit there. And that will save. That's the key, what I have understood. And that's what Prabhupada says. Attitude is the key, isn't it? Prabhupada says that, nectar of instruction. Attitude is the key in devotion. So how to maintain that attitude? By prayers. And prayers include glorification and repentance. Prayers include both of them, by the way. Yeah, repentance, I forgot to speak for repentance, but prayer includes that. That's what I think, that's the solution. So, what do you say?
Yeah. Yes, Prabhuji, it's there, but we were not able to see this as a solution. Thank you so much for highlighting this.
Yeah. Your idea always forget. Sometimes we all forget. Sometimes we all forget, but we have to keep ourselves reminding, and then one day we become perfect. You just don't have to sit and pray. Just walk, when you're walking, when you're taking bath, when you're cooking, just in your heart, keep on praying, please guide me, because it's such a confusing word. Please lead me. What's that? Asatoma, asatkama. You know that? So you know this? Asatoma, asatkama?
Yeah, it's Prabhuji.
Asatoma, asatkama, tamasoma, jyotirgama.
Mrityuma,
amritkama. Amritkama. Lead me from darkness to light. Lead me from wrong to right path. Lead me from death to nectar, eternality. This is what we have to pray. Keep on praying, and slowly what will happen is
chanting Hare Krishna will be actually intertwined with these prayers. Now I don't know, most of the devotees are chanting Hare Krishna, but for them prayer is different, chanting is different, but slowly the chanting will engulf all these prayers. And as soon as we chant, automatically all these prayers will simply be flashed in our heart. So then we can keep on chanting, we can keep on praying, we can keep on glorifying. Until that time, we can chant around and then pray separately. And then things will come together. Before we die, that should happen. Before coronavirus makes death do something to us, we should come to this point. So I think, see, we can tell others so that at least they understand, they don't do all these things, politics and this groupism and this and that. And whoever has to do, whoever is doing, let them do. That's all. That's all. What you can do? We can't change the world. But we can inform others. So just like I'm informing, just like you're asking this question, it's a very nice question. It's a very mature question and needs discussions. But so I'm telling, but I don't know how many people will be able to follow it or will follow it. But my job is to tell people who will follow, they will see the power of this advice, which is given by all the saints, not me. But people will not follow. Okay, fine. We can pray for them. Krishna guides them to understand this and leads them to the right path. That's all. What can be? That's it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for your association.
Okay.
Prabhu, just to follow up very quickly. You know,
yeah.
as you said, you know, we cannot get this mood of selflessness from reading books. Yet, at the same time, you said we're supposed to get that from the association of the devotees.
No. I said not just by reading books. That's
reading in conjunction with the association, you're saying.
Well, association is the main. Reading will actually add to that. Reading is the assistance to association of devotees. That's
okay,
how
we because we do hear that, you know, by reading Prabhupada's books, we are associating with Prabhupada.
Yeah, you're right. We are by reading books, we are associating with Prabhupada, or we are associating with Prabhupada in our own way. That's how it happens. By reading Prabhupada's books, we are associating with Prabhupada, but in our own way, in our own style, that's all. Am I right? Because
yeah.
Prabhupada is not. So that's the whole point. So whatever you like, you'll take. Whatever you don't like, you'll reject. Or at the same time, you can understand in your own way what Prabhupada speaks. Am I right? There's so much confusion what Prabhupada speaks in his books.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes so many contradictions. So what do you do? So that's why reading in conjunction with association. Association is the most important.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
And even when reading Prabhupada's books, the idea is not for the knowledge, but for the proper mood, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the whole point. Never read Prabhupada's books for knowledge, which most of the preachers do mistake. They simply want to read for knowledge and making points and giving lectures. That's what happens, am I? That's what is happening. There's lectures and making points, and then they give nice lectures with points. What's the point of making points? Understand the mood. That's the whole crux. That's the point. Everything. See, when we die, all points we will forget. It's a mood which will it will be there in your heart. Mind's a lost.
Yes. Yes. Right.
So that's all. Just mood. That's all. If you catch the mood, you're out.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Every class is gold.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Mataji, Hare Krishna.
So, very, very beautiful class. Yeah, very nice. We will try to, you know, do whatever you said. And Prabhuji, are you speaking from Badrikashram?
Yes, yes, I'm speaking from Badrikashram. yeah, love that one.
Because I can hear some birds in between, you know.
Yeah, birds are there, cows are there. Yeah, you're right. You're here. It's nice to be here.
You are so much in the natural space, Prabhuji, and, you know, maybe coronavirus is not...
Yeah, for us.
Definitely,
yeah,
because the place is so spiritual.
Yeah,
Prabhuji, we are having lockdown here in America, and schools are closed and offices are closed. But Bhakti Sangha is the our hope because all temples are closed.
Okay, good. That's very nice. That's very great. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Jai, Jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji, once again for a beautiful class. If there is no more question, we can end the call here by offering the obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas, Manta Kalpa Daru, B.S.K. Kripa, Sindhu, B.A.B.D.A. Vaishnavrindu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vishresh Keshananda Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.